You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm speaking to Skulk Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town. Lots of things to look forward to, or rather, sort of anticipate with trepidation over the next 24 hours or so, Skulk, because we've got the Fed tonight, the US Federal Reserve. And whatever they say is going to be very important for everybody, not just the United States. And then we've got the South African Reserve Bank tomorrow. Not so important, but also interesting to see how they'll react to energy prices going up and also the weakening of the South African rand. So lots for you to think about.
Well, firstly, hi, Lindsay.
Hello.
You've been well. what a day to be reporting. I mean, I'm so glad I had the privilege to be on the 5 o'clock shadow not a few days ago. And just funny how things can literally, you know, change in a matter of pretty much 48 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at a screen. I mean, you talking about a few, let's call it announcements you're waiting for. Let's call it, the Fed. I mean, 2 days ago, we were looking at a platinum price that was fighting to stay above $900. Now it's, broken the $1,000 mark. The markets are looking good. Where a few days ago everybody was talking, this is the end of the world, this is the start of the crash, that's it. I mean, yeah, we're looking at a JSE all share at the end of the day, we are 1.6%.
And
in general. And also, I think, the results that came out, and it was quite an active day. If we're gonna try and get through all the results and trading statements tonight, I think we'll most probably sit here and call it a 10 o'clock show.
Let's start with REMGO if we can, because that was the first one that came out. And I spoke to Wayne McCurry earlier on about this one, and we both spoke about these structures. And these peculiarly South African companies, these holding companies, these cross-holding companies, RMI earlier in the week and REMGRO today. But tell us about REMGRO's results and then what you think that the future for REMGRO is, please.
I love the results. This is one of the companies that I would deem see as one of my favorites. I mean,
really?
We know this. Mm. So let's put the disclaimers out there. I'm a personal shareholder in REMGRO.
Well done.
I hold this involved my clients, and I think the big question will be, what do I do from the current levels? So this is one of my favorite companies in my portfolio and still remain one of my favorite companies for reasons we've seen again today. Great results. I mean, I think the short, this is, for all the listeners that don't know REMGRO yet, I haven't listened to some of my chats. I mean, this is a holding company that pretty much hold other listed and unlisted, but mostly listed investments. When we look at the current scenario, more than 60%, and to be exact, when it was today's closing prices, more than 62% of REMGRO's holdings are actually listed vehicles. Mediclinic, that's currently the largest, making up more or less 19% of the RMI, which you just alluded to, and also spoken about the announcement that we've heard earlier this week. That makes up more than 15% of the share price. Destel, also a company that we've been chatting about recently, making up 12% of the NAV. And then other companies like RCL Foods, still First Strand, Grindrod Shipping. So great company. And when you combine these assets and look at the company between the period, let's call it 2010 and 2020, this company was trading at more or less a 15.5% discount to these underlying, other companies, this portfolio of listed and unlisted entities.
Scott, before you go on, I mean, people are going to listen and say to themselves, well, if there's 62% of the portfolio listed companies, why can't I just buy why can't I just follow them and buy the listed companies that they like without paying so many fees? And on the other hand, the other people will say, well, if they've got 38% unlisted companies, that's because of their skill and their company picking qualities. And therefore, you've got to have the 62% plus that 38%. So may as well just buy REMGRO, even though the fees are pretty steamy.
Yeah, Lindsay, I mean, there's no arguing that point. I think if you ask me, then I said nothing stops you. But, you know, when you look at these holding companies, and I'm going to talk about RMI, for instance, that's a company that, two, three years ago, traded to very close to that, let's call it net asset value. So there's no discount. So in actual fact, if you say, well, I don't want OUTsurance, because we've just talked about Remgro, RMI, or Rand Merchant Bank Investments, they consist of, let's call it three local companies. I'm not going to look at them. That's basically up to very recent Discovery. That's the one they're now going to dissolve off, Discovery. Also Metropolitan Momentum, same story. They're going to dissolve that. And then also OUTsurance. Now, OUTsurance, you can't go and invest. You can't buy OUTsurance in the market. So naturally, somebody that says, well, I really like OUTsurance, want to get exposure to OUTsurance, for that reason, I'm happy to even pay a net asset value. But you're right. You know, you can go and buy two-thirds of Remgro in the market directly. You can buy Mediclinic, RMR, RCR Foods, all these companies you can go and buy directly. But then again, then the discount becomes wider. For reasons you also mentioned, I mean, you've got these underlying costs, there's restructuring and those type of things, and then the discount gets wider. And that's why I mentioned end of last year and also the beginning of this year, this discount has pretty much never been trading at a 45% discount to the NAV. Now, it would be much better for investors to rather buy a company like Remgro, get exposure to these wonderful companies, but you get that at, you know, my wife always said them, her two favorite words is free and discount. I mean, typical woman, she loves discount. I mean, you can get something as wide as 40-45%, then it's a no-brainer. But yet, even as it currently stands, great results. And just note, I think two things important to note. We just mentioned about RMI and the corporate action or possible corporate action that's still going to happen on that side. And then also we're waiting for Heineken's, because we know Heineken and Distell is currently in conversations. They've had the SENS announcement and mentioned that they're going to make an announcement before the end of September. So there's still some possible corporate action, you know, for Remgro as well. All things that will help the discount, and this is back to something like NASPAS, a company that's been struggling to reduce that discount, to unlock value for shareholders. Remgro, I think, has been very successful doing that, you know, over the past, let's call it year. And I think looking forward, it seems like they're on the right path to unlock some more value. So as it currently stands, the share price is still trading at a 32% with today's closing prices, at a 32% discount to NAV. And for that reason, I would still be a buyer. I would still buy Remgro at current levels because I'm still looking at a company that should be trading, let's call it closer to a 15% discount.
So, and you might see something quite dramatic happening in the next few years with Remgro. In other words, there will not be Remgro as you and I know it now trading on the JSE in 2, 3, 5 years' time. I think that's a possibility, don't you?
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. You look at what's happened inside the portfolio and the, you know, how they're unlocking. I mean, just a small fact of you know, a company like Distell, you know, now being in talks with Heineken, and Remgro as the largest shareholder, actually mentioning, you know, that they're happy that Distell don't pay any dividends this time around, then you know it must be very, very far down the line. And I think the announcement could be positive.
Exactly, and you've got to say, therefore, if there's a 32% discount, you've got to stay in this share and even maybe buy some more.
For sure.
That's not a recommendation, by the way, by me or by Skulk Low, PSG Wealth, but it's just something I'm throwing out there. We've got to get on because I know you've got things to do, but we're quite late this evening. Spar came out with a trading update. I like Spar, and I like Spar not because I know anything about the company, but I just, whenever I ever went to a Spar in South Africa, I really liked their franchise operation. I like the way the stores were set out. I like the way that it's a combination of a big supermarket, but with a local feel. I enjoy Spa. What about you?
I love Spa. I think it's a great company. I mean, I've been invested in ShopRite the past year, but you know, Spar's always been my close second. And now I must say, in current valuations, it's looking quite attractive. I think you're 100% right. I mean, it's a company that's well-diversified. Well-diversified in the sense that, you know, they've got a, you know, main footprint in South Africa, but also, for those who don't know, I mean, they also got, you know, a footprint in Ireland and West England. They also got spas in Switzerland.
There's spas everywhere. I mean, I can cycle for 2 minutes from where I am now in the south of Holland, and there's a spa. If you look at the logo, the logo is the is it the cypress tree? I don't know, have a look at it. It's spa in red, and then there's exactly. So this is not a South African company. Many people think that I speak to think it's a South African company. Of course, it's not a South African company. It's got a presence in South Africa, a big franchise in South Africa. But on the other hand, it's an international company. Spa is everywhere in Europe.
Yeah, it's and a lot of them visit my daughter in Amsterdam, and then she stays across a spa. I got on a plane, took my wife to Venezia, and I was quite surprised in the little streets and bridges of Venezia. There, I walked into a spa and I bought myself a Coca-Cola. I mean, it's a big brand, and I think they need to reiterate that this is a company that, by buying into this, you're not just buying a company with a South African footprint or African footprint for that matter. You're now buying a international retail company, which has done well. I mean, you look at the results that came out, or more specifically, the voluntary trading update for the 48 weeks to 27th August. Group sales were up. I mean, we know that. We're opening up, and compared to the previous year where we've been in serious lockdown worldwide, it's looking good. So South African sales, the group sales increased 3.9%. South Africa, that was about 4.5%, and I'll get back to South Africa. The BWG, which is basically the Ireland and South England, that increased 3.3%, Switzerland 7.3%, and Poland 17.5%. But yes, I think the reason why the share price is down, because the share price reacted negatively. We're down close to 1% most of the day, but eventually ended down a quarter of a percentage. And that's for the reason, look at the civil unrest update. You know, of the 184 stores that was, you know, affected, you know, 115 has reopened since then. 32 will reopen, you know, still in this 2021 calendar year. And the remaining 37 stores will be delayed due to the extent of the damages caused. Now that's bad news. That's bad news. Now the cookie is crumbling. Now the chickens are coming home to roost, and we can clearly see, you know, what is the effect. I tried to get a more retail orientated, but the chickens was the best I can do. Sorry, Lindsay.
Cookies and chickens. I mean, so suddenly you're making me hungry. But anyway, go on.
I know. Go to Spa and can get you some. But I mean, this is. For some reason, I don't know if the listeners can agree with me, but as we followed the civil unrest on television, for some reason, every time there were the news reporter was standing, it was standing in front of some spa with people looting a spa behind them. So, yeah, I think now you can actually see it in the trading update. So, yeah, 37 stores still not opened and you know, delayed, you know, sort of indefinitely, which I don't think is good for any company, and for that reason, share price reacted a little bit negatively.
Okay, but only by a quarter of a percent. The spot prices look like this, Skulk. The dollar rand is 14.74. The British pound against the rand is 20.13. The euro rand is 17.30. The euro dollar is 1.1740. The British pound against the US dollar is 1.3660. A really big night so far, anyway, in the United States of America. You'll give me the live prices in a moment. But I've got the gold price. You must love this. Up $20 over the last 24 hours to 17.76. Seven, the platinum price. Oh, this is fantastic. Skulk, never mind going down through 900. It's gone back up through 1,000. It's 1,005, up $74 per ounce, up nearly 8%. I've never seen a move in platinum of that percentage in my broadcasting career. That's a massive move. Palladium is up 6.75% to 2020. That was going to go down through 1,900 to two or three trading days ago. It's up $125 an ounce. Let's have a look at the oil price. I mean, this is extraordinary stuff. I don't know why people are getting so excited. Maybe Maybe they've got some kind of secret idea of what the Fed are going to do tonight. But anyway, West Texas crude oil, that is, up 1.75% to $71.73 per barrel, up 1.75% as well for Brent crude oil, up 1.8%, and natural gas is up 0.4%. Bitcoin, I have to mention that one, that's down 2%, 42,290-odd. The South African 10-year bond yield ahead of the South African Reserve Bank meeting tomorrow, 9.085%. So people were having a little bit of a bet on that one. The US 10-year bond yield is 1.335%. It's not going to do anything until after... Oh, no, actually, no, 1.31% now. So some interesting stuff. And the S&P 500 futures up 1.2% at the moment on their highs. Lots of stuff going on. Suddenly bullishness, maybe short covering ahead of these Reserve Bank meetings, Skulk, but certainly very interesting stuff this evening.
I'll take it. I know we're nearing a quarter end, but I mean with pretty much 8 days to go, we can't even say this is quarterlies. I know there's a futures close, if I'm not mistaken, today or tomorrow, but also a fairly big, you know, your futures closes, because that might be some short covering, as you mentioned. But in general, I'll take it. I mean, this is a turnaround of the market that I was really hoping for, because We were sort of looking at the China and the Grande or whatever, how you want to call it, and we're talking about valuations and the Fed tapering in terms of earnings reports. This is good news. I'll take it. I'll take these type of movements.
And I'll take Massmart on the JSE up 7.75%, Sasol up nearly 7%, Transaction Capital up 6.6%, Investec PLC and Investec Limited both up around about 4.5% each. Karoo on the downside, down 2.2%, Sirius down 1.25%, Clicks down 1%, Harmony down 0.9%, PSG Consult down nearly 0.5%. Skulk, give us the index closes, please, on the JSE and also Live Wall Street, etc.
So as we currently stand, the market closed. The market closed at 63,353 points. That's up 1.6%. Resources, that was up 2.04%. Financials, they were the best performer at 2.1%. And industrials, a bit of a laggard, just up 0.9%. With a few property stocks bringing out results, Hyprop bringing out the Sense announcement, that helped the SA Property Index up 2.2%. And let's just look at the value trade before I look at the US. The value trade for today, not an active day, but not a slow day either. It was 20.7 billion value traded on the JSE today. And when we look at our, the West, the US currently, as we currently stand, it's trading the Dow Jones, that is up 1.14%, S&P 500 up 1%. And it's looking good. NASDAQ is but 81 basis points stronger. So it's looking really, really good. Seems like we're in for another positive day by the looks of it.
You'll sleep well tonight, Skulk, but of course don't forget the Fed tonight at around about 8.15 South African time. So that could all change. But given what's going on at the moment, it doesn't really look like it. Skulk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town. And Skulk will be back with me tomorrow for a very important opening. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.